we meet head on, face to face, toe to toe, problems, trials, tribulations. God, in the midst of all of this, problems, trials, and tribulations, we go have the up and down roller coaster ride called life, meaning that we'll find peace 1 second, and the next second we're into something else. Our spirit has fallen. Our countenance has been depleted. We look at the world and we see what is going on within the world, and as we look to the world, we see no hope. Our problem, one of the biggest, the most important, we look to the world. We're looking for help, but we're looking for help in the wrong place. We expect something to change, but folks, the change cannot be the world. How many times in your own life since you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior have you felt the call of the world? Have you felt the pull of the world? And the world pulls us right back in to the trickery that Satan has planted in the mind of man. God bless me, some 42 years ago, 43 years ago. Gosh, I'm getting old. 43 years ago to preach the gospel. When he shuts that off, the date, I do not know. No more than I even dreamed I would ever have a calling. But this I do know. You and I are created by God in the image of God as an individual. Nobody else has the influence over me or over you. Christ says, you belong to me. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I belong to him. And yet the world wants me to be remade in its image instead of God's image. And it's exciting looking at the world. I see people all the time that they don't have to do anything. Everything's given to them. Everything's just fine. They don't have anything, but what they do have, they're content with. But the problem is being content with what the world gives you. It's not going to help you when the time comes when God looks and says, come on home, you're an individual. I've created you for a purpose, Larry. And when that purpose is over, I'm going to bring you on home. But I am an individualist. You are an individualist. Your husband cannot tell you what you need to do, nor can your wife or your children. You're an individual created the way God created you to be. And he says, now, I've given you a calling. Now, folks, you listen to me. Every human being is given a calling. God said, I've called you. I'm going to give you a calling, and I'm going to give you the power and the authority to fulfill the calling I'm giving you. I'm not telling you to go out with the calling I've given you and do it on your own, find your own way. Why, you don't even have to have a roadmap. Open your heart and listen to me, and by my Spirit, I will lead you. And I will lead people in your direction. By the way, each stop you make in life, I'll make sure you have an opportunity to fulfill your calling for that second, for that moment. Because you belong to me. And he said, when you belong to me, I want you to know something. Well, you see, for God so loved me, for God so loved you. He said, I'm going to give you a calling, and the greatest calling that I can give any human being is this. I want you to be a blessing. Now, I'm going to bless you, but I want you to be a blessing. The 43 years of preaching, I look back now, and I look at my life and I can see so many times that I have failed. I look back and I'm paying attention to what has gone on in my life and in my ministry, and I see fail, 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 fail. And I think, would you change it If you went back, yes, there's a lot of things, a lot of ways I've handled situations I would change. I can't go back. I can't make the changes. The only hope I've got is the next few short, whatever it is, to make a difference in what I have left. And God looks at each one of us and says, be the blessing I've called you to be. Now, being a blessing doesn't mean you just go along with everything. Parents, you do not go along with everything your teenager tells you you ought to. Love them. You know, that one area of my life, to love my son, to love my grandson, to have the love of knowing that you'd lay down your life for them. But now, when life's just about over, you look and think, did you do enough? It's not what I've done, but it's tomorrow. What do I do? Are you catching it? Maybe I wasn't a blessing to so many people over the years, but Jesus has always been a blessing to me. His love, His forgiveness, His outreach, His touch. I forgive you, Larry. Gosh, one of my favorite prayers is continual on my lips. Lord, forgive me. If I have to explain to the Lord what I'm asking forgiveness for, I'm not going to be able to do that. I just know as a human being, Lord, forgive me. I need it. Forgive me. So when I have forgiveness, I need to be a blessing to others who haven't seen it. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every, now listen, with every blessing, spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything is in Christ. So if I'm going to receive the blessing and be able to give the blessing, I must be in Christ. It's my calling. I'm a Christian. I must be in Christ. How then do I do it? You preachers tell us this stuff all the time. How? How do we do it? How are we supposed to do it? First of all, each one of us must live life in Christ. Live life. I've got one life. God said, I want you to live that life in my Son. I want you to live in Christ. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't even understand what these preachers are talking about when they say it. Live life in Christ. Listen to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. This is the priestly chapter. Now, pay attention to it. Chapter 17 of the Gospel of John is a prayer. You can call it a multiple group of prayers if you want to. It's a prayer that Jesus is praying directly to God the Father. You hear me? Chapter 17, Gospel of John. First part of John 17, Jesus is praying for himself. Listen to me. The second part, Jesus is praying for his disciples that are with him. And then we get to the exciting part for us as a church generation, as the era of the church or the church age. Jesus is praying for you and for me. Jesus is praying to God the Father. Our name is on His lips. Our voice is in His mind. His love is poured out to our heart. And he prays this prayer. Oh, I get excited over this prayer. You listen to it. John 17, verse 22, 23. And the glory which you, talking to God, the Father, gave me, I have given them. That's us. Now you hear me. That's us, the church. That they may be one. How? Just as we are one. Jesus said, I want them, Father, to be one in me and you, just like me and you are one. I in them and you and me. Woo! That they may be made perfect in one. That one is Jesus. That one is Jesus. That one is Jesus. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me. Woo! Catch this part. You ready, Randy? And have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus never prayed a prayer God didn't answer. God has always answered prayer. His Son has prayed. And His Son has prayed for you and for me. And His Son has said, love them as you have loved me. Now, are we picturing that? God loves me and you as much as He loved Jesus, His only begotten Son. That's a lot of love, people. That's a powerful love. He's going to put His Son in the grave and keep Him there. Death is not going to conquer anything with His Son. Well, they wasn't even allowed to break a bone. He let them go so far, and it don't you even try that. That's my boy. That's my girl. You got it? He said, I want you to be a blessing. But first you have to realize that I am the blessing in you. Therefore, in order to bless others, you make sure you're in me and you tell them the story. Not your story, Larry. Story of life. Their life. The story that is so often held back. The story. The truth. I love them. Tell the story of how much I love. I love so much. You have to be in Christ to understand that kind of love. Love strong enough to say no. Love strong enough that you're going to stand the ground of what God has called you to do despite what anybody else says. The power. How do I do it? Stay in Christ. I want to know what Jesus would do. How about reading His Word? He got a great book out there called the Bible. Great book. Holy Bible. Now, not all of them have Holy Bible on them. Doesn't mean they're not the Holy Bible, okay? That's the Word of God. God says, in Christ, can I do all things in Christ who strengthens me? Can I not stand strong for the Word of God in Christ? Is it not in Christ that all power is given? That all hope is realized in Christ? We can only trust doctors so far. But God says, I got you. That's why death does not excite me, Brother Randy. I can't die. You all are stuck with me for eternity. Woo! You might as well start loving me. God says to you and me, in me, you belong with me. Huh? I got a home in glory land.
Sing it, brother.
It outshines the sun. Outshines the sun. But it's real. Life with Christ is real. Hope in Christ is real hope. The peace that surpasses all understanding cannot be found in the world, but only in Christ. In that hope, in the strength, in the wisdom of who Jesus is, all the rest of it, to me, it's frivolous. Frivolous. Here's the second way. Walk through life like Christ. Christian? Oh, you know, you're a Christian when you... Don't you dare tell somebody this that doesn't know Jesus. You know, when you become a Christian, everything becomes perfect. They accept Jesus and find out the first thing is you lied to them. You lied. Life hurts. I did not know what enemies were until I accepted the call to preach. I did not know what bitterness was about until I accepted the call to preach. Then all hell broke loose. Walk through life like Christ. How did He do it? 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called. Here's my calling. You ready? To this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Everybody whining and crying on, well, you know, I'm dying with cancer. I got cancer. I'm dying. No, you're not. You haven't even lived yet. We do pretty good in this church fighting it, don't we? We're winners one way or the other. Amen. I can't lose on this one. But one thing I do know, if Jesus went through all the suffering he went through for people that didn't even like him, why would I fuss about a little suffering when I got people around me that love me? Well, I know they do. Some of you just don't act like it. But I know you do. It's important to love. And God says, walk like my son. Now, if you'll do a little bit of reading, you'll find out how many bad places Jesus walked into. You'll read about all of the suffering that he walked into. But he kept walking. In the garden, he was asking his Father the night before his death, Father, if there's another way, I take it. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. Find peace in the dying process, because it is truly just the living process. But find peace in walking like Christ. Number three, the final one, is for each of us to endure life for Christ. Some people want to completely just quit. And it's a joke. I don't know how much of a joke it is. But it is a joke between pastors that every Monday morning we walk in our office, we open the right-hand drawer, and in that right-hand drawer is a letter of resignation. You pull it out, you lay it on the desk. And as the hours go on and the days go on in a week, it ends up back raked into the drawer. And I do it year after year after year after year. I don't remember where mine is anymore, so don't count on it. But think of that. We're all human beings, and we get pushed to the limit. And when we get put to the limit, one time too often, there's always that fear of going over. Always that fear of saying, Lord, I quit. I can't do this anymore. I've never got it right. 43 years and I haven't got it right yet. And yet I go back to understanding, endure life. That's what Jesus did. But I'm to endure life for him. Did he not endure life for me? For me to quit preaching is for me to quit Christ, and that ain't happening. That ain't happening. Now, I may die right up here in this pulpit. I know you all are excited about that, if that ever takes place. But folks, as long as God gives me a voice and his calling and the strength to stand in that calling to preach, I will preach till my last breath, because I know this. 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Brother Norm, I'm called a soldier here. I thought I was a Marine all the time. I'm a soldier, brother. It's life. It's love. It's truth. It's peace. It's a fact. And the fact of this life is this. It's temporary. That body breaking down, good gracious. Just like trying to start a car. I can hear everything in it popping. But I know something. I hope you do. I know Jesus. And my calling is to be a blessing. When I can put my hand on a child and know that there's hope. When I touch that baby and know that that is a gift from Almighty God. And that he has called me and you to protect every second of their life. Protect them, to watch over them, to say no, yes, and slap that little hand before it grabs that hot skillet. God said, I'm entrusting that child to you. It's proof I haven't given up on the world. It's proof I haven't given up on life. There is hope. the generation coming up of our young folk. I'm so proud. You listen to me, folks. I joke about teenagers all the time because it's easy. But we have some in-depth spiritual kids in this church that care and they love. Only God can do that. Oh, they're going to have cases of the stupids just like anybody else. But God looks at them and His blessing is upon them. And His warning goes along with it. Be better for you to be cast to the depth of the sea with a rock tied around your neck than to even bring an offense to one of the least of these. Woo! Now that's a powerful charge, isn't it? Said, that kid belongs to me. That child belongs to me. Do you hear them? That's exciting. They took my babies out. My babies normally are the loudest cheers that I have in here, with a smile on their face. I love you, folks. And I will tell you and preach to you the gospel of Jesus Christ till I'm no longer able to preach it. I love you. But I see that we have a breakdown in a society that is pulling our churches down day after day. We're emptying out little at a time. We have been on from door to door. We have taught. We have preached. You see, that's not where it is. No. If they expect anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, I can't offer it. Nor should the church offer it. We got every game that you can think of in our house. I can't play any of them. But I got a son and a grandson. When they come over, they can play all of them. Think of this. There's nothing wrong with that until you leave Christ out of it. You got it? It's not the games that'll pull your children away from church. It's the world itself. It is not that that goes into a man that defiles the man, but that that comes from the heart of man. That's what defiles the man. It's the heart that is impure, that impure heart that defiles the man. Oh, may God have mercy on us, and may God lead each and every one of us as individuals to be a blessing to whom God has called us to be a blessing to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your name, giving you thanks, asking for your mercy and guidance as we touch the lives of those around us. Give us the courage and the boldness. Help us have the true love that only you can give. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.